Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
I'm Christy, your mom.
And we are going to be covering Outlander Season 3, Episode 1, The Battle Joined, Season 3, Episode 2, Surrender, Season 3, Episode 3, All Debts Paid, and Season 3, Episode 4 of Lost Things.
Can I just say that these episode titles sound a lot more interesting than I feel like these episodes actually were?
I think that's fair.
I do think that's fair. Spoiler. There will be spoilers for this show in case you've not watched Outlander and particularly have not gotten to season 3 of Outlander.
Obviously, there are there will be cursing because there's cursing in this show and there are things to curse about that happen in these episodes. So, yeah, that's going to happen. And we are having things to drink. We're having different things to drink, honestly.
Well, yes. I am having Crown Apple and ginger ale.
And I am having scotch with Luxardo cherry and a little bit of cherry bitters and ginger ale.
Cool. I have not tried yours, but I already know mine's good. So,
well, I'll taste yours, but I know yours is good too.
Because it's Crown Apple and ginger ale, yeah, two things we like.
Yeah, you took most of the ginger ale, so
sorry.
But you're not. We know you're not.
I'm not.
You're not. And that's okay. What do you think of the other one?
I like mine better.
Not surprised.
I don't really like bitters.
No, I'm not sure that it's the bitters that you're not like. I don't think you like scotch as a blender.
Well, first, I don't like the aftertaste. Mm. And I think that's mostly due to the bitters. But yes, I'm not much of a scotch drinker. So that doesn't help.
Fair.
Well, let's get started. Well,
I know. Well, I'm sorry.
Before we do, you realized.
Oh, I did.
That we completely forgot to do like a season wrap up on season 2 of Outlander and like talk about how we compare the seasons and such.
Yeah. And so looking at season 1 versus season 2 going into season 3, obviously. I like season 1. I think it's a good entry to the whole universe. I think season 2 is more uneven, so I would give the edge to season 1, but there, you know, the end couple episodes of season 2 are really pretty good. So
the end episode to season 2 is good,
right? But I think that the one right before that, while it's paced badly, has some good stuff in it.
No, I prefer season 1 all the way. It's not really even a contest because some of the stuff that they get up to in France is so boring. And then Fair. They just are like, all right, let's fuck off back to Scotland. It's like, okay.
Because we've got Bonnie and Prince Charlie saying, mark me.
And not to say that the overarching idea of the season isn't good. It is. It's just, oh God, some of the stuff we have to slog through for whatever reason is so dumb and I'm not interested. And so,
yeah, the side quests, and of course, you know, a lot of this is kind of self-indulgent, like, hey, let's find out some more about Louis the 15th court or whatever. And I think I mistakenly called it Louis the 14th at one point. I apologize. But, you know, I feel like there are a lot of idiotic side quests that occur.
I think another element
in every season of Outlander. I'm sorry.
I think another element is that the side characters that we're introduced to and who are stick around for a majority of the season, with the exception of Fergus, they all kind of suck.
Yeah. You know, like obviously we love Murtaugh.
Murtaugh was not introduced in season 2.
No.
I'm talking about the people introduced in season 2 being just kind of sucky.
That's and true. There are a whole lot of people.
They're just kind of like dead ends. And it's just like, okay, well, whatever. And I misspoke in the last episode with Fergus not appearing. Well, he doesn't appear as he appears like in that episode, like that age. He ages and he has like
there's no actor.
Not immediately, which no. was what I had forgotten. For reasons. And Fergus is definitely the best side character we're introduced to. Like, all the other side characters, like Mary Hawkins or the French court in general.
Alex Randall, who's like,
he's fine, but he dies.
Right.
And then you've got, I guess the guy who saves her from afterbirth is good. Mr. Raymond.
Whatever.
But I don't care for
We're
Sasha, not
not,
even if he's hot. And I mean,
vested in them, I think is really
no.
the point. And
And
they
we never
aren't,
get vested into Bonnie Prince Charlie either.
no. And for obviously the whole premise is like we're trying to stop him, and he ends up being a complete ass, which fine. But I feel like the core universe is kind of falling apart, and when they try to reconfigure, sometimes the newer characters are interesting or interesting for a time, but I'm not sure we ever get back to that sense of belonging that I think Claire's constantly seeking with going back to Jamie or missing Jamie. Because it's not just Jamie, it's Jamie and the whole clan and that whole, we all need to band together and whatever. So.
Sure. I think just overall we both agree season one's better than season two. For me, it's not really much of a contest, but I mean, that's just me.
It really isn't. I mean, from my full season standpoint, it really isn't. It's just.
There can be individual episodes that were great from season two, and there were, but season one just overall just has a more cohesive arc to me. Well, I mean, both of them have cohesive arcs, but I just prefer season one. How about that?
I mean, there's stupid bullshit like the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy episode.
Oh, we don't
That's
speak of
really,
that.
really, really bad.
We don't speak of that.
But again, I think that from a full-on season standpoint, I agree. So let's get on to season three, which.
Episode one, the battle joined. I would just like to say that the formatting of these first five
Four,
episodes,
five, whatever.
it's five episodes, the first five episodes are a lot, again, a lot like Once Upon a Time, where you get a past and a future, but obviously they're different, like coinciding timelines. And so you get to see what Claire was up to in the years she was away from Jamie, and you see what Jamie was up to in the years he was not with Claire. And so you're essentially seeing 20 years, condensed into five episodes.
It's not nearly as great as you
It's
would hope,
not as
though.
interesting as you'd think. And
Because, of course, we're really here for the Claire and Jamie together parts. And I think so some of it's deliberate. But there's a whole lot of intercut stuff. There's a lot of montages, which, as you know, we hate.
I think you hate
You
montages.
hate some montages,
There are some that I hate, and
too.
I point them out when they happen, but it's not really a montage issue, in my opinion. There aren't that many,
Or time
and
jump issues.
time jumps, yes, but not montage. But I would just like to say that we don't. Well, fine. I don't really love how long it takes for us to really get the ball rolling and get back to the timeline that we were in the
At
at
the
the end of
end.
season two, with the whole like grown up Brianna, Roger, Claire figuring out, all right, well, I need to get back to Jamie. It takes three episodes to get there, and I don't think it necessarily needed to. However, I would be a lot less annoyed if we weren't shown that part of the episode in season two, and we just saw like both of these people. This would also be interesting because of like, oh, Jamie's alive. Shit, we didn't know that. And Jamie and Claire's arc, like not knowing, and I don't know, just having a little bit more unknown about like how they're going through life, that would make the time jumps more interesting. Like, ooh, what's going to happen next? Instead of knowing exactly where at least Claire is going, and then just picking up in episode four, back to where we began. And it's just like, okay, well, that was fucking stupid.
Well, there's a lot of stupid, and we're going to talk about it. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about what happens in these episodes. And a lot of them kind of mesh together for me because there is a lot of jumping back and forth stuff.
Well, I think that we should do what we did last episode, where we talk about one storyline and then we talk about the other storyline, because these do not meet up at all.
No, they do not. And
So.
but oh, I will also point out that it's uneven the amount of time they give to each
Oh,
storyline
for
too.
sure.
And
Like,
that's definitely
in
true.
episode
Like,
two, you barely get any Claire.
it's like, what in the fuck is this? So I mean, so there is definitely frustration when you're viewing it, especially the first time. So
There, this picks up with
So
the
we'll start
end.
with Jamie.
Yeah, we're gonna start with Jamie because that's where it starts. So there, it picks up with the end of the battle, Culloden, and there's a lot of Jamie still being conscious with a dead British guy, which is of course Blackjack Randall on top of him.
Of course it is.
Of course it is, because and we see a lot of flashbacks to the battle, how it was that Jamie ended up in the battle, things that he's remembering. Like he comes to, it's not told in a linear way.
None of it is.
None of it is. There's a whole lot of basically leading up to Jamie and Blackjack Randall fighting, and Blackjack Randall cuts Jamie in the leg. Jamie is able to stab him in the kidneys. They end up on top of a pile of other dying bodies. And there's just a lot of crap, really, honestly,
And
about
then
this
Rupert,
battle.
and
And
then,
I think it's because they had like a low battle budget. And
oh, for
so,
sure, that's definitely why I was budgeting.
yeah.
And then Rupert finds him. Rupert's fine for now, and he
Finds
finds
Jamie.
Jamie. He finds Jamie, and there he's basically just like gathering up any people who were are injured, but still alive, because a lot of the British soldiers are just double checking that everyone's dead.
And they're stabbing them with bayonets.
Yes, so they are all holed up in this shack somewhere nearby Culloden, and they're concerned about the fact that there are British men redcoats everywhere. And then, of course, naturally, they get cornered, and the British soldiers are essentially like, "All right, well, you're all gonna die." Does anybody claim that they're not a part of the Battle of Culloden and fighting for the Jacobite side? And no one owns up, so everyone's going to die. But they're going to get shot instead of like hanged. So that's something, I guess.
They're also given the opportunity to write to their families.
They're given an
Nicely.
hour. And so they're just going one by one, taking note of their names, and then they're getting shot. And it there are just then Rupert gets shot, and then Jamie gives his name, and the person who is the commanding officer is like, "Holy shit, you're not Red Jamie, are you?" And he's just like, "Yeah, I guess that's one of the names I go by." And he's just like, "Holy shit, you saved my brother's life." Well, essentially, spared is probably a better term. Spared my brother's life. He was the one who tried to sneak attack, kill you when you were taking a piss. And
And he's
Jamie's
like,
just like,
hey.
"Oh, okay." But at this stage of the game, Jamie's just like, "Please let me die. I just lost the love of my life, and basically Scotland's going on this like downhill spiral, and so am I. So I might as well just fucking die. I don't really care." And but this guy is just like, "But I have a debt of honor with my family, so you're not gonna die." And so he sends him back to Lallybroch. So that's that. Because a debt of honor is worth more than anything, which, I mean, fair. And you know what? It keeps the plot moving, so I'll take it.
Yeah, send them back to Lallybroch, and Jenny and Ian are like, yay, you're home.
Thank God you're home. But he's still like bleeding profusely, and he's like,
Yeah, how you survived this
I don't
cart ride
know.
across the
Without Claire,
countryside?
you'd be fucked.
Yeah,
But
I
you
mean,
know.
well, and it doesn't even seem like they put a tourniquet on him.
No,
I
they
don't
didn't.
know.
So I don't know what the point
Whatever.
is. I think he's still profusely bleeding. Like,
Right.
I don't
I
know.
mean, this is a cut to it, like a femoral artery, so it's kind of
Yeah.
like, you should die
It's
from
not
that.
great.
No.
Anyway, back in the 1940s, we've got Claire. So,
Jeremy,
no,
Claire.
we
No,
don't.
we do have some intercut stuff where they're both like staring off into space thinking about each other, and it's really annoying.
Okay. Anyway, so her and Frank are in Boston now. It's 1948, and they're going to buy a house. And so time passes. She's really heavily pregnant with Brianna, and
She's
she's
dealing with misogyny.
dealing with misogyny and a lot of restlessness because she makes friends with the housewife next door, and that's not really important at all, really. And she's just
Other
making.
than using there's a lot of using characters like that to talk about the misogyny of the age. Like,
Yeah.
oh, well, my husband's like,
Only like cooking clean, and at
yeah.
least yours is more progressive. So you're really lucky, Claire.
Yeah, and Claire's like, I don't feel lucky. And there's a lot of Claire not being able to do normal modern housewifey things because she's not a modern housewife. And so she shows up. She's supposed to be like arm candy at some
Harvard event.
Harvard event, and there's misogyny with the Harvard professors. Like, oh, the
It
lady.
spans centuries and it's still happening, unfortunately, which is dumb.
I mean, because she has pointed out, she's like, and it's clear that she's already thought about, hey, I want to go to med school someday. And she points out to this dean of the history department, and he's like, oh, yeah, the women really can't keep up. Then I don't know why they do that.
Fuck you. You're supposed to be smart. Anyway, so she's just having a regular morning with Frank, and they seem to be able to do fine day to day. But Frank's kind of, she's talking about, oh, maybe we should apply for citizenship. We might as well make this our official home. And Frank starts being like, well, but I love this about England. I love that about England. And he starts bringing up like things that
England,
trigger
England,
her.
England.
He starts bringing up things that trigger her and to think about like Jamie and the whole situation. And so obviously she gets a little upset and he's just like, well, and she kind of like shuts down a bit. And even after she's like now called the baby his child, like saying our child instead of my child and stuff like that. And he tries to like touch the baby bump and she immediately shies away. She's essentially not letting him touch her, which I mean, I.
Well, so
It's difficult.
here is how this dynamic is working. He has told Claire that she can't talk about or think about or have any conversations about Jamie or anything she loved about him. And she's like, fine, you can't touch me. I mean, it's
She didn't say
basically,
that out loud, but it's
but that's
essentially.
not what she actually like physically re recoils from him, though.
There are a lot of layers to it, and not that I think that's really fair on Frank, but at the same time, he has the same face as his ancestor who tried to rape her multiple times. So
I don't think
that's
that's all
part of
right at this
it. It's
point, yeah.
definitely part of it.
Yeah, probably.
And so she recoils and stuff like that, but that's unfortunate. However, he starts blowing things up a little bit more, and he has a good point of like, we should talk about this like adults. Like, I mean, just
And
tell
she's
me
like, oh
what's
yeah, I'm
going
not an
on.
adult. And I think
It's
what's
also
part,
pregnancy hormones, I'm
well,
sure.
right, but there's also she's kind of taken in this whole misogynistic line that she's getting from all these other people, this cultural misogyny that she thinks that Frank is espousing. He isn't necessarily, but she just assumes when he says that, oh, you think I'm a child, like
Yeah.
I'm not as smart as you or something like that, because she's gotten so much of that feedback from other people.
I definitely think
And
that's part of
they don't talk about that. He automatically goes to, oh, it's because you're really in love with that other guy, kind of thing.
it. Yeah, well, it's not entirely inaccurate, but at the same
No,
time, she's like,
that's not all of what's
so
going
you
on.
just want me to have sex with you? Is that what this is about? And he's just like, well, no, but I think that I should still be able to touch you.
Right, but what she says is, I'm sure you can find one of those Radcliffe co-eds to have sex with. This becomes a theme.
No, but then he says, I'm not the one who fucked other people.
Right.
And it's just, and then she throws something in his direction.
And
And
then the next morning, her water breaks, and she has to go to the hospital and have the baby.
Yeah,
And
so
there's
she.
misogyny there, too, because they put her under against her will.
I'm so dumb.
It's
And
horrible.
he's also talking to Frank instead of talking to her about when her contractions are. And that's just.
He's like, don't panic, little lady. I mean, the fact that he says little lady,
Don't even get me
somebody, yeah,
started.
really, I would fucking punch you.
I would punch
Don't say
him.
that shit to me.
And then, or I would like hold him down while my husband punched him.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to hurt my hand, but
Yeah, no, I might actually hit
I'd slap him.
Yeah, like.
Either way, so essentially, Claire wakes up and the baby's a girl, obviously, it's Brianna.
But she has the same reaction when she wakes up, because when she had the miscarriage, she wakes up and her baby is gone, and she
She
wakes
freaks
up and
out.
there's no baby, like.
Also, Frank finds out that she had a miscarriage. She has to mention that this is not her first birth, technically.
Yeah, her first pregnancy. And so she wakes up in a panic, like, where's the baby? Where's the baby? Like, is she dead? And it turns out, of course, that it's
fine. And it's Brianna, and she's lovely.
She looks at the baby and she's like, she's so beautiful, and I would have given anything if she said, just like my
Exactly.
father.
Exactly.
Just like father in
Oh,
the brain
wow.
there.
They use it, a redheaded infant is adorable.
Claire apologizes for being horrible to him, and she recognizes that she wasn't being exactly fair. And I do agree, she wasn't.
Right.
And I think this is one of those times where Frank is in the right for his feelings. Everyone's in the right for their feelings over this subject matter. Frank's in the right for feeling hurt that he is not able to show any physical affection towards his wife, even like hold her hand or like touch the baby bump or anything like that. But she's also in the right for like setting boundaries if she really feels like they're needed. But
Yeah, but that's not one of those
she
boundaries
never
that you set.
vocalized that. She just doesn't let him touch her.
Yeah.
And so once she doesn't speak like an adult and be like, I'm not comfortable with that right now, or anything like that, then obviously things are going to blow up and blow out of proportion. So
Right.
this is really a message about you need to communicate in your fucking relationship.
Yeah. And I would add to that, like the one of the things that happens right before she gives birth is that Frank's starting that letter we know that he wrote to Reverend Wakefield about, like, do some research on this Jamie Fraser guy.
He also says, I love you multiple times, and she does not respond.
Right, like he's leaving her to go be put under and have a baby, and he's like, I love you, and she kind of just looks at him. It's just bad. I mean,
It's
he feels
unfortunate.
so rejected. But you know, the baby, and he says this is like it's the whole reason that we're here. And so
Oh, and the nurse chooses this moment to point out, oh, what beautiful red hair. And then
it's like,
Frank, that there's this
ah,
cut to Frank of like,
where'd the red hair come from?
he can't escape it.
But yeah, that pretty much was it,
That's
right?
it for episode one, yeah.
Yeah, so what were your best parts?
Blackjack Randall dying. Love that. Thank God, please. Jamie. I feel bad for Jamie, but I also respect Jamie being like, fuck it. Well, there's also, you get like a brief moment of him, I guess, holding the thing that she was wearing when she first went through the stones, that little like shawl that she had on. I think he found that on the ground and he's just kind of holding it close to him after
In one
she
of his
just left.
flashbacks,
Yeah, in one
yeah.
of the flashbacks. It's like really quick flash, but it's there, and that's really sweet and sad. Lord John Grey's brother. We love a man of honor. And you know what? Fair enough, bro. And I also like Claire and Frank making up. I like that she owns up to it and is not just expecting Frank to be like, well, I'm sorry I said that. Like, no, girl, you are in the wrong in a certain sense of like, you should have
In
been
many
vocal about
senses.
like what you were expecting from this relationship. And you clearly have not had the major conversations that you need to have because something major has happened in your relationship, aka Jamie Fraser. And
That's pretty
so.
major.
That's pretty damn major. So, yeah, that's what I've got to say.
All right, so my best parts were Jamie killing Blackjack Randall. It's not just that Blackjack dies, it's that Jamie gets to kill him, which is good. I like Jamie being back at Lolly Rock, because of course we love Jenny and Ian.
Of course.
I like that honoring the dead of honor thing.
I
I
do.
think that's really good. What were your worst parts?
Prince Charlie. We only see him
Oh.
briefly, but I don't care.
Oh, he's diddling about on the battlefield, like talking about, oh, I'm gonna
Has
make
a
someone
glass of wine.
a goblet. Like, oh, I'm gonna make people drink from this. It's like, fuck off.
Frank's bosses, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
Truly, like this woman has some insight into a conversation you're having, and you can't even entertain her opinion because she's a woman?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, it's really pretty terrible.
Aren't you supposed to be way more open-minded than that? Fuck you.
No. I
I guess
guess not.
not. And Claire not being good to Frank. It's not fair on Frank, who has only really loved you and really
He
been
took
there for
you
you and
back.
picked you
I mean,
back.
all this shit, he's been through it. I really feel
No,
bad
I
for
feel
Frank.
really, really bad for Frank. And if I didn't know it was going to happen going forward, I would feel even worse. But at this moment, I feel really, really bad for him. And there are certain things about his relationship he can no longer control. And those are her feelings towards Jamie. But he's trying to get a hold of his life and be have like a normal, some sense of normalcy, and she's just not there yet, and that's unfortunate.
So my worst parts were Claire being awfully frank. I think she's just terrible at him.
Yep.
And misogyny. So yeah, what grade did you give this episode?
B minus. It
Yeah, I gave it a B minus. It was an okay episode. It
was
wasn't great,
fun.
but it was fine.
Yeah.
So we move on. And the next episode,
Is episode two.
it's episode two, Surrender. And again, there's a lot of the past in this.
Let's just do Claire's bit because it's not important.
It's super short.
Claire's masturbating to memories of Jamie in the bed next to Frank, sleeping. And
Yeah,
it's
no.
now 1949, and Claire's taking care of baby Brianna, blah, 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 blah. She initiates sex with Frank, blah, 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 blah.
Well, she initiates sex with Frank, and he, because she's been kind of hinting around at it, and they do have sex once in the bed. She tries to initiate sex with him after a dinner party, and he's like, "Why aren't you looking at me during sex? Your eyes are closed. You must not love me anymore," kind of thing. It's like, what the fuck?
I think that's a little sensitive.
It's a little much to me. I'm sorry.
I will admit, like, him multiple times being like, Claire, look at me, Claire, look at me, Claire, look at me, and then her not even opening her eyes, I think that's a bit much as well from Claire, but simultaneously, like, get over yourself, whatever it takes to get her there. And like, he's just
And
like,
get you there. What the?
also, the fact that he's just like, oh, you never used to do that before, it's like people change first, second of all.
Has their eyes open during everything, like eyes open during kissing. That's not a normal
Oh,
thing.
please God, don't do
Yeah,
that.
like that's not a normal thing. It is
I
not a
mean, they
normal
were
thing.
kissing at the time, but
Okay,
like,
personally, not eyes open during all the things. Sorry.
it's not necessary.
No.
And so I'm just like, unless you need to like look at your dick going in, like it's not necessary at all.
So much graphic shit that comes out of your mouth. I'm so sorry.
I reached it, Mom.
I honestly feel like I'm responsible for this.
Okay, I'm knowledgeable about the world.
Are you?
Close enough. But I'm growing up in an age where like people, it's a little bit more
Is
normalized.
very, very graphic the world you're growing up in, which I'm not sure how
I
I
can't
feel about
control
that.
that, so.
Yeah, it would be an interesting comparison. I listen to a whole lot of historic podcasts, and there's a lot of like graphic weirdness in like the Middle Ages that you wouldn't expect. So
Maybe we're having another Middle Ages.
it could be.
Anyway,
Maybe because the Middle Ages sucked. Maybe that's why, this time is kind of feeling like it sucks.
sure. So now we go to a completely different segment of Claire's like past that didn't qualify as like a separate thing, but she's applying to med school because she needs some sort of purpose.
And
And
there's a guy playing bagpipes because
to be more precise about what happens, she goes in, and obviously there's misogyny, but also there's racism. Because there's also an African American student that they're just like, oh, they're really being progressive. It's just like, and people won't sit next to her. And it was like, get over yourself.
except for the African American guy,
Who
and
we
thank
like.
God.
His name
Yeah,
is Joe, and we like
Dr. Joe,
Joe.
he's
We
a good
like
guy.
Joe.
We like Joe.
Joe
He's a
is
good guy.
cool. Fuck you.
Right. And, as we will see, that is actually a very healthy friendship type of relationship that she has. But yeah, she applies to med school. And one day when she's walking to med school, there's a guy playing bagpipes. And this is supposed to be significant and parallel to the shit that's going on with Jamie, which is not at all even close.
Whenever I watch a sequence like that, and I had another moment like that in this last episode that we're going to be talking about, but there are these moments where it's just like, oh, she's having a sense of ennui. And I'm just like, you had to spend so much money getting everything set dressed, getting everyone in costume and hair and makeup just for this moment to mean nothing. Like, you spent how long and how much
That is
money?
the actor in you. I love that.
No,
That's awesome.
truly, it's insane how little this fucking matters. It's just someone playing bagpipes, and no one fucking
There
cares.
are a number of really horrible wigs that they put on
Oh,
Claire. Katrina Bach is like,
poor
oh
Katrina.
my God.
Katrina, like, her hair was nice and wild and unruly and whatever in the first two seasons.
She's Outlander-y.
Yeah. And then she goes back and then they put her in this shit. And obviously, like, it's supposed to be somewhat period accurate.
And somewhat constrained. I think she's supposed to look like she is conforming in some way.
I think that's definitely part of it. Yeah. But I'm just like, girl, look at your hair. You look like a clown. I'm so sorry, babe.
Or you have a helmet. Or, you know, like,
negative. It's literally Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. It's crazy. The 60s hair is crazy.
Yeah, most of it is just basically
Stacey London looking ass with the like gray streaks.
Hey,
like,
I have gray.
You have gray, but she had just singular gray streaks like Stacey London. That's why
I'm actually thinking Lady Tremaine. But whatever.
That's also. Oh my gosh, yeah, that's probably more accurate.
It's probably like closer.
Anyway, Jamie.
let's talk about what's happening with Jamie. So Jamie has become Wild Man in the Woods.
He has like this cave. His man cave.
He's living in a cave. He's not talking. He has not shaved. His hair is grown out. He is like definitely somebody who is wanted. Of course, this happens over a period of time.
6 years.
It's a 6-year period that they're trying to reflect in this episode for both of them. And in this 6-year period, Jamie's mostly living in a cave, which I can tell you is not as exciting as it sounds. Fergus is trying to get him like back in the fight. Like, we're going to go rebel some more. And Jamie's like, no.
Because the raincoats are on their ass and on Jenny and Ian's ass.
Yeah.
Arresting Ian every month or whatever, just to like get something out of it. And obviously Ian's not going to blab because he's not no snitch.
But part of the reason that we love Jenny and Ian is that they diffuse all of this shit with the fucking red coats so well. Use that kind of sarcasm. It's like, well, you have an
sarcasm and calming energy that they bring.
Yeah, they do. And they say things that are provably true.
Mm-hmm.
Like
we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while. True. the while might be a short while, but hey, it's a while.
Nevertheless,
and so. One of the things that happens, like, Jenny is, of course, pregnant.
She's always fucking pregnant, which is honestly kind of a funny bit.
It is.
This woman is always giving birth.
Her, like, giving birth this time, there's a raven somewhere near the house, and Fergus gets hold of a gun and shoots it. And, of course, guns are illegal. And so the Redcoat soldiers hear it. They come to the house. There's a bunch of drama. Jamie had been there to see the wee bairn and talk to Jenny about like the books or whatever. And he nearly gets caught. And he starts to realize, like, I need to just turn myself in, basically. And what happens is that, and Jenny has all this time been like, hey, you need to get a new woman. Hey, Claire's gone. Hey, you know, like you need to have some sex and have some kids and all this stuff. And Jamie's like, no, just stop it. Leave me the fuck alone. But she sends the servant woman who's, she's tangentially related to someone from season one. We don't care. But she like goes to the cave and like is like, hey, Jamie, let's have sex. And for reasons that make no sense, he has sex with her. Which again, there's a lot of that happens with Jamie in this season that I really don't like. And I'm going to be saying it again and again and again mm-hmm. and again because it keeps fucking happening, fucking literally.
Every time.
And so he has sex with her. Then he goes to turn. He gives Jenny like, hey, you know, tell them that you know I'm coming and turn me in. And so he does. He turns himself into the Redcoats and he is taken to Ardsmere prison. And in Ardsmere, we find that there's a change of who the warden's going to be, and the warden is becoming Lord John Grey. No, is that this
episode? That's next episode. What are you talking about?
I got ahead of myself because, again, not much happens in this episode. It is really fucking long and really stupid.
Well, did you get to the part where Fergus gets his hand cut off?
I failed to mention that. I thought that was in the next episode.
Nope, that's this episode. And so he gets his hand cut off, and then
Jamie's like,
Jamie helps him out and is like, all right, Jenny's going to have to turn me in. And Ian has a whole talk with him about grief and how, like, even though his limb is gone. He still feels it there, and how I'm sure that's what Jamie feels because Claire is not there. And
Oh,
lots
by
of
the way, Jenny gets money for turning Jamie in, and she's
they have
clearly
amateur
disgusted.
theatrics at each other. It's very fun.
Yeah, it is. She's like, I'm
Jamie, well,
never
no.
gonna forgive you.
Jamie shows up and he's just like, Jenny, it's me. It's like, yeah, no shit.
And she's like, I had no idea you were coming. You brought this on yourself, which he has, because he told her to do this. So yeah, of course. It's
That
really
kind of,
very
I'm
funny.
not gonna lie, that kind of reminds me of a line that's going on in the show I'm in right now, where this guy knows who his uncle is, but at the very end of the show is just like, my plus my soul, who's this? And right to his uncle's face, and his uncle's just like, it is I. And it's just like, well, no fucking shit. Like,
You've
are
known
you
all
blind?
along. Yes.
Are you blind?
And the answer is
It's
yes.
just funny, and I have to stand there like, huh? It's so
Okay.
dumb.
Is that him? So that is really the episode, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it
Oh,
is.
Claire and Frank are in separate beds. It doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't. It's very
I
like
love Lucy.
1950s. I Love Lucy, because
Yeah.
that became a thing for a while,
And
which.
you know what? Normalize people sleeping in different beds, because honestly, I don't know. People get hot. People don't want to cuddle all the time, and so
Well,
unless you, oh,
but they
but
weren't
if you have,
cuddling before when they were in the
well,
same
that's
bed.
certainly true. But I think that if you don't have like a lot of space in your bed, that can be an issue.
Oh
Of
yeah, I mean,
like,
I'm sorry, if you're in a twin bed with
yeah, if
another
you're in a
person,
tiny bed
that's a
and
different
you're
thing.
and like people are expecting like to close proximity, you're just like, it's a little stifling in here. I kind of want my own space.
But the full-on separate bed is a bit
Full-on
creepy.
separate bed's a lot, but
And
I
that's
think
what
that
this
it should
is.
also be like it's okay for you to use that option as long as there's still love. You know?
Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway,
I don't see
so.
it as that much of a problem. It's just awkward.
Yeah, what were your best parts of this episode? I struggled with this for sure.
Jenny, Ian, the baby they get for Brianna is really adorable. The housekeeper Mary, who fucks Jamie, that she's. Well, she takes one for the team with the whole gun thing, and I think that's really cool of her, and she's calm under pressure.
I
And
don't like
I
her.
guess Jamie for turning himself in because he doesn't want any more grief for his family.
Yeah, the first thing I wrote down was question mark for best things. Second was Jamie sacrificing himself, and third was Jenny, because of course I always love Jenny, and the amateur theatrics make me happy.
Very
And
funny.
there's a little bit of Ian, and he's good too.
Oh, we love
What were
Ian.
your worst parts?
Red coats, because first of all, when Jenny tries to use the excuse of why her baby wasn't in her arms actively, that because Jamie was holding the baby and hiding, she said, oh, well, I had a miscarriage. It was really bad, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, good. And it's like, what?
Well, no, it's
And then they
worse than
also are like,
that.
where's the body? It's like, fuck you. If this was true,
Yeah.
fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. It's terrible.
Fergus getting his hand cut off, that really sucks for you. Frank and Claire's sex life, I do not care. Racist and sexist people in anatomy class, fuck you.
Yeah, my worst parts were Fergus's hand, misogynist, racist, Brits, because they are portrayed as also racist, by the way.
Also true.
And marital problems for Frank and Claire, because I really mostly don't care, but second, the way they're portrayed is like, oh,
I will
please let
say,
it
like
stop.
it creates an interesting, and like again, it draws on the di what I mentioned like in the last podcast episode of it's an in they have such a fascinating dynamic after she goes back in time and trying to rebuild the relationship is an interesting concept. However, they show so little of their discussion about it. They
There's
don't. We
because
don't
there
see
really
the.
isn't
Yeah,
any.
we don't see the decision to get separate beds. We don't see how that affects them. And so we see so little of it that I don't really care.
Yeah, it's poor. What grade did you give this episode?
C minus.
I give it a D plus.
Okay.
And it's partly because I had to adjust other things for other things. So there we go.
I originally gave this a C plus. I don't think it's a C plus.
I
It's a C
originally gave it a
minus.
C minus, and then I gave it a D plus. So there we are. Alrighty, so All Debts Paid, season 3, episode 3.
Which one do you want to start with?
They're both equally not interesting to me. So I would probably say the Claire timeline is actually the shorter one if
I
I'm
think that's
making.
true. So it's
Yeah.
1956. And Claire suggests a movie date night with Frank, but he tells her, "Oh, well, I've already seen both of the movies you're suggesting because I was on a date with a different woman."
Right. He apparently, up to this point, has not told her that he's screwing other people.
No, she
Even though,
knew.
like she's agreed to it, and we can have separate lives and all that other
But he
stuff.
has not been communicating with her, "Hey, I'm having these other affa this affair,"
Yeah,
which is not necessarily an affair because she's allowing it. It's a whole thing.
it's an
So,
affair. I look. Well,
okay, mom, listen. So Claire apparently brought about this arrangement because clearly she was not going to be able to do what Frank wants and have her eyes open during sex the whole time. And so Frank being like, "Well, you just are thinking of Jamie," and it's just like, "Well, yes, sorry." But she, well, she doesn't say that. But she
Had she
brings
been lumpy?
forth, and she is though, but she brings forth this idea of, listen, as long as you're discreet, you can see other people who will give you the full package that I'm not giving you.
I'm talking about what legally this would be, which is adultery.
No,
That's an
legally it's
affair.
adultery. It's
It's an affair,
absolutely adultery.
absolutely. I mean, there's
But
no
to be
question about
fair,
that.
technically, Claire also committed adultery.
No, because like it happened in a marriage that in fact was prior to and ended before her marriage to Frank.
Very technically. Anyway.
I think she has much better justification than Frank
She
does.
does have better justification, but at the same time, Frank's annoyed and he wants to get his dick wet. So, I mean, there
How
you
dare
go.
moms? Oh my God.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Like I don't think guys really want like to think about things that way. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a guy. It's a thing.
Well,
But
I don't know what guys think.
I don't want to think about that like as a
All right,
girl.
fine. All right, I'll
So
dial it back,
whatever.
I guess.
Whatever.
Anyway, so essentially, she's kind of like, oh, okay, well, as long as you're being discreet, that's fine,
Right,
whatever.
but she didn't know he was actually doing. It was like a good idea in theory. This will appease you if I say you can do this. But she didn't know he was actually
Which
doing
is
it.
interesting because I think that if he were to speak to her and be like, hey, listen, I am seeing this other person on the side. This is the reason I'm not available tonight. I just want you to know that so that you're not, first of all, worried about where I am because, accountability, figuring out where everybody is a big thing.
Important.
It's important communication.
And back then they didn't have Life360, so you know.
Exactly. And so that, and also you know what to expect from him personally. So it's
Right.
not if he's like being more distant towards you, you know why.
Right.
And so you don't get your hopes up about your relationship going better when he's screwing another person. So it's,
Well,
I
right,
think
because
that that communication is
I
important.
want you to think about this. All this time, Claire's not getting any at all.
No.
So, that actually does like factor into the level of bitchy we see from here, from her, I would think.
Oh, I think that's definitely part of it.
I
Sexual
think that's
frustration is
totally
certainly
fair.
part
I
of
think
it.
that's totally fair.
Either way, so Claire graduates from med school. She has a party, and this fucking pisses me off. So they, again, this is all part of communication and bullshit like that. So they're having this party. Brianna's like eight, maybe.
There are a lot of people
There are
there.
quite a few.
A
And they're
lot
going
of
to be
people.
going out to dinner afterwards. And there are reservations for seven, but Frank thought it was six, and he invited his squeeze
Mistress.
over.
His hoe. I'm sorry, I'm gonna call her a hoe. It's a thing.
This young woman, and she, who's also definitely younger than him, but that's not very important, but it's something to note. And Claire, of course, is the one answering the door, and she's like, oh, I see. Because he used the excuse of, I need to work tonight. I'm not going to dinner with you after your
Right. That's what
graduation.
he tells their daughter, who's like eight. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, you're having this conversation with your daughter. Like, I'm not coming to your mother's graduation party.
And that doesn't count.
Bullshit.
Being weird. Oh, and who's this random woman?
Who shows up at the door and Frank's like, "Oh, Brianna, go in the other room." It's like, "Oh, stop it.
Yeah, I
Stop."
Claire has to cover for it by making the party leave early, which it shouldn't be her
No,
responsibility. That's her
absolutely not.
party, and you can replan your you can fucking remake your plans.
Replan your liaison. You don't need to have a liaison on the night of your
Of
Why
all nights, why did it
graduation
have to
party.
be that night? You knew you were gonna have
Insane.
people over, bud. What are
You
you talking
deserve. He's
about?
such a. It makes me feel like he is not worthy. You know what I
No,
mean?
it really makes me hate Frank. This
Yeah.
that I will say, up till that point, I was like, you know what? Fair, he feels second fiddle, whatever. But this is bullshit.
That is total
Even though
bullshit.
she's given you basically everything you want, you still have a daughter. You still have a life and the appearance of a marriage that
You should be
is
making a
together.
bigger effort.
You're not being discreet and you're humiliating her in front of her colleagues and potentially your daughter. So fuck yourself. And so that night, he comes home drunk. Of course, and she is sitting there, and she's just fuming. Fair,
For good
no,
reason.
I'm not. I completely agree. And she's just like, "You did that on purpose. You wanted me to feel hurt." And he's like, "Maybe I did. It's not like you've been holding up your end of the bargain." And she was like, "Well, okay. You said you were going to be discreet. I gave you this out as long as you were discreet." And then he, because you needed some kind of release from this marriage. And
He says is nobody thinks we're happily married. I'm like, okay, is the bargain, because we didn't see them make the actual bargain, right?
right.
Is the bargain that she's going to pretend that you guys are happily married while you go screw other
I
people?
think
And
that's the
is that
bargain.
really like a realistic bargain?
I don't think that was her saying, I will appear the perfect wife or whatever. I think that she was more like, okay. We can still have our marriage, but you can screw other people if you need to. I think that was the idea, but then it was like blown out of proportion of like, well, you said you were going to be a dutiful wife to me, and I'm going to just get sexual release from elsewhere, and also love, and also I care more about her than I care about you, and blah, blah, blah. And
That is where this is going, by the way.
yeah. And so Claire says, well, why don't you just divorce me? And then he's like, because I don't want to lose Brianna. And it's
Right,
like,
because their loser friends that they had had the dinner thing with, and the whole misogynistic neighbor conversation with those people,
they got a
they
divorce.
got a divorce, and the guy didn't get to see his kids anymore. And so Frank's like, "Well, I'm not going to be that guy." It's like, okay, well, and Claire even says, like, "I wouldn't keep Brianna from you."
And he's like, well, to be fair, I don't take your word for it. I won't take your word for it. It's like, what? Why would she take Brianna away from you? Literally, what reason would she have? Brianna clearly loves you, is obviously a daddy's girl. She's not going to just whisk her away.
Right.
Like, that's stupid.
Well, right. But so we revisit the timeline later on, and it is Brianna's 16th birthday.
It's very brief.
It
It's
is
not
very brief.
important. And then there's her high school graduation. And then a night later on, Claire's full-time surgeon and she's tired and all that stuff. And Frank's like, well, Brianna's 18 now, so I'm going to move back to England.
I'm
I
going to take
want a
her with me.
divorce.
Yeah, I'm going to take her with me.
I'm going to take her with me and I'm going to get married to my
Poe.
mistress.
Yeah.
And Claire's just like, what?
Yeah, she's like,
You're gonna
and
take my child away from me? No, you're
exactly.
not.
Like, this is not your biological child. And his whole thing is like, well, you haven't been around and she loves me more, basically. Which, to some extent, we had seen a little bit of that in the episode at the end of season two. Which that does sometimes happen with kids that, like, one parent's home more, whatever. And Frank clearly was the one who was home more. And so there's some reality to that, but there's not necessarily truth to what was actually happening and what was causing the rift. And he's not been, if he was going to say anything to Brianna, it wouldn't necessarily be factually accurate about what was happening. So part of his thing is like, well, I'm going to take her. And Claire's like, you're not taking my daughter. I am going to come after you about this affair. That is going to
You can use
be
whatever grounds for divorce that you want, but it cannot be adultery.
because I got adultery on you, fucker. So if you are going to try to keep my child from me,
It's gonna be a full-on divorce.
Yeah. And the reason, and she's like, you've just been waiting for her to turn 18 so she could make her own decision and like basically turn her against me is
Yeah.
essentially what you're doing.
And
And
he's kind of like, yeah.
it's like, yeah, essentially, I want to live my own life with your child. And again, I hate to put it in those terms because adoptive parents are parents.
Yes.
But I would also like to say that for Claire to have her child ripped away from her by someone who, first of all, clearly hates her guts at this stage in the game, and
Been her mother the whole time.
yes, and this is also the last piece of Jamie she has left,
Right.
so that's not
Well,
fair
that's
to
part of what
her.
he says is like, oh, every time you looked at her, you saw Jamie. You know, it's like that's a negative. Like, really?
Like, I'm sorry that she looks like her father.
Yeah,
Like,
like
that's
it's
how
upsetting.
biology works.
Yeah. Like,
And
it's just
she
craziness.
just gets upset, and he's just like, "Were you ever go did we ever stand a chance? Were you ever going to just forget him?" And she's like, "That kind of amount of time doesn't exist because I would never forget Jamie."
Yeah, like why would you expect that? Why would you want that even? Is this the kind of person you want to be married to? I don't
Someone
know.
who can just forget a 3-year full-blown loving
Marriage?
relationship and marriage.
Yeah, I don't think so. So I think that they aren't having that conversation. So part of what happens in this is that he's like, yeah, I'm gonna take the car out tonight. She gets a call from the hospital that she has to come in for surgery. She is in surgery. She talks to the husband of the person that she had been performing surgery on. And while she's having that conversation, her friend, Dr. Joe, comes in and is like, it's Frank. He's been in a car accident. And Claire goes and
Spotless, literally not a
Frank is
scratch on
spotless.
him.
Frank is spotless. So, like, not really a car wreck. No, I mean,
Not
what?
a serious car wreck, I
Not, you know,
fear. Did
not the kind of
I have
car
a
wreck that
heart
you're
attack
thinking
and
about.
then like fall asleep in
Plausible.
a car?
Plausible. But Claire, kisses him goodbye and says, "You were my first love. I really did love you." And I think that's really true. I think she did.
Yeah.
But I think that what she found with Jamie was much deeper, and that's
I think that's
part of
true, but
it.
I also think that if they were, it's difficult with the whole relationship between her and Frank. Frank was always in love with Claire at the beginning, like before she came back, while she was gone, all of that stuff. And she comes back and he's expecting everything to go back to the way things were. Obviously, they can't. And she has
Well, but
this.
he's changed too, and we haven't really
Well, he certainly
seen
changed
much of
after
that.
they moved to
But
Boston.
he changed because he's like beating up people in alleys and stuff. I mean, there have been changes to Frank caused by this.
Anyway, I think that the expectations for their marriage were not clearly stated by either of them. And so, especially like at the very beginning, they should have just established, I want things to go back to the way things were. And I think they were trying, Frank was trying to edge towards that. However,
Claire's not capable of going back to
they
that.
didn't realize the full extent of the how much it would hurt to do that. And so when it doesn't automatically happen, he gets frustrated and they make this agreement that is not mutually beneficial.
True.
And it's really only beneficial to Frank. Well, actually, it's not even fully beneficial to Frank because it seems like his marriage is falling apart because it is. And so I don't know what either of them were getting out of it. And that's why I'm like, so Claire's like approach to you about like
Well,
when
we
she
get a
was eight,
divorce.
when
Just
Brianna
divorce
was
me.
eight, just please, like 10 years ago, just divorce me. Like, please. Because it's not like she was going to be able to divorce him.
No.
And obviously, the only reason was because of Brianna. But as Claire said, I was going to let you.
Yeah.
But now you want to steal my child, even though I gave you the grace of, like, all right,
Well,
well.
having a child at all, right? Like, he would not have a child but for Claire and Jamie.
That's true. But
That's a
also, like,
fair
he
argument.
also needs to re realize that adoption is also a thing.
Yeah.
But because literally that's essentially what he did.
Yeah.
So I just think that he was very close-minded about what his relationship was going to look like. And when it didn't turn out the way he planned it, he lashed out and took things out on Claire. And obviously, Claire was not blameless, but I also think that
She's not
of
fully
the
to blame either.
two, she was being way more accommodating than he was.
Yeah, on many, in many love, in many ways.
Obviously, we don't see the day to day, but I think that's true.
Talk about what's happening with Jamie, who is in prison. He is at
Ardsmere.
Ardsmere. Lord John Grey has taken over the warden's chair.
Lord John Grey,
He does look
Icon, King, and Legend.
no.
Yes.
No.
I do like
Although
Lord John Grey.
she does. And I don't hate him.
You just act like you
No,
do.
I don't hate him. I just don't think he's as great as you think he is.
No, I just think he's very funny. I think that he's the reason I find him so funny is that he doesn't feel like an Outlander character. He's just kind of there, and he's just kind of normal, and I'm just like,
These like British lord things that we expect him to have. He's
yes, but
extremely articulate. He's got a great accent. He's a good-looking guy.
he is, and I think the reason why, again, I find him so funny, and the fact that he's even exists in this narrative so funny is that he's just, again, kind of there, and he's just kind of floating through life, and then he kind of dip, bobs and weaves into the story every now and then, and is just like, "Hey, I'm Lord John Grey.
He does.
I'm back, and literally not a damn thing has changed with me. So how are you? Everything's changed. Wow." Like compared to like the
That's
crazy
true.
plot lines that happen with like Jamie, Claire, Brianna, Roger, all of them, so much shit happens to even like side characters like
Yeah,
Jenny and
Fergus.
Ian. Ian's getting arrested every month or like whatever. So much shit is happening. And then there's Lord John Grey, who's just kind of there.
He is the representative of white privilege in all.
Literally.
So Lord John Grey is heading up Ardsmere prison right now. He's told by the outgoing warden, hey, you gotta like respect this guy, Jamie. He's known as Red Jamie, and he's like the chieftain for all of the prisoners, so you need to make bargains with him. And he has conversations with Jamie. A lot of this is super fucking boring,
So
though
boring.
I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it.
So boring.
He has a lot of conversations with Jamie about like conditions for the prisoners. There is
Murtaugh's
some
there.
Murtaugh's there and he's
He's
sick.
sick.
There's a bunch of random shit involving like some beggar dude on the road who like over like heard
In
something.
Gaelic and in French says something about this treasure bullshit.
Yeah, and randomly, completely randomly, Jamie escaped to swim to an island where the treasure might be in the North Sea.
Which
I'm
we
not
don't
joking.
see.
We don't see any of
We
that.
just hear about it.
We don't see any of that.
And
Although I think we might see it later.
we do see it in flashback later. However, Jamie goes to this island. He's gone for 3 days. And Lord John Grey is like, damn it, I can't find him. And then so Jamie sneaks up on him and is like, is this what you meant to do? That's how it's done, bitch, because you're the bitch who was trying to kill me while I take a piss. And I know exactly who you are.
Lord John Grey is like, oh,
You
wow,
knew?
oh, no, you knew. And then like they have a bunch more random conversations, but
Jamie's like, all right, here's your chance to go through on what you were saying. You said you would kill me if the debt was ever repaid. It was technically repaid by your brother. And then he was just like, I can't do it. It's like, all
Lord
right.
John Grey is because,
Yeah.
and I can't do it because I don't like go after unarmed prisoners. It's like that's not it, but
No, I like
whatever.
that though. I like that.
Again, he is the honorable person in this, or appears to be.
And Jamie
And
says there was no gold. I did not. I also,
but I
but part
found
of.
this sapphire.
Well, a part of, yeah, what the fuck was that?
Oh,
And
we're gonna
so
hear about
that sapphire is constant. Anyway,
that.
so essentially he tells he tells Lord John Grey, hey, I part of that translation was about a white witch, and I thought that could be La Dame Blanche, aka my wife Claire from the future.
And
And he doesn't say from the future, but it's implied.
by the way, I fucked with you because like that
That's so
woman that
funny.
you were like trying to be all honorable for was my wife.
I do appreciate that you would have done that for my wife. That's very nice of you. Thank you.
And Lord
And that's
John
so
Grey's like,
funny.
oh no, let's hold hands.
Okay, so
And
they're
Jamie's
playing chess.
like, no.
They're playing chess, and then he talks about how he lost a really close friend wink.
Lord John Wright Gray does.
Yes, Lord John Gray talks about how he lost a friend, wink. And he is, and they're playing chess to, like, in front of a fire, and it's very intimate. And Jamie essentially is just like, yeah, I lost someone too, my wife, and I miss her so much, blah, blah, blah. And then as a sign of comfort and also potentially more, Lord John Grey puts his hand on Jamie's hand, and Jamie looks at John Grey in the eye and says, "If let go of me or I will kill you."
Right. Because,
to be fair, the last time a redcoat put the moves on Jamie
in a prison,
it was not a good situation.
It was a very, very bad
situation. It led us down a very dark path.
It did. So
I can't blame him for being like, I'm putting a boundary up right away. And again, that's what's great about Jamie. He puts up boundaries.
Right. And Lord John Grey kind of retracts a little bit, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
He feels bad about that.
He does feel bad about that. And what ends up happening, is that part of this episode?
Yes, it is. So essentially the prisoners are being transferred to the colonies to work as indentured servants for 14 years.
I guess Lord John Grey does get a doctor to look at Murtaugh in exchange for the information about the gold /sapphire/whatever.
Yeah, Murtaugh's doing much better. And he's now being sent over to the colonies for indentured servitude for 14 years.
I miss him all the time. Can I just say that?
Yeah, you can. I also agree. Yeah. And so, but not Jamie. Jamie did not get that pardon. And because essentially the prison's being
sent to someplace called Hellwater.
Hilarious. It's actually an estate. He's going to work there as a servant. And Lord John Grey will, like his parole officer, will come in quarterly to check on him.
But he's supposed to go under another name, and he chooses to go by Alexander McKenzie.
Yep.
And that's the end of the episode, pretty much. What were your best parts?
Lord John Grey. I think he's cool. I think he's chill and he wants the best for people. And I also like that he's an honorable chap. Murtaugh, I love Murtaugh. Jamie's awesome. Even though he has weird plans. Like, he easily could have escaped, but then he didn't. Like, what the fuck was that? And Joe. I like Joe the doctor. I think he's cool.
Yeah,
that's all I've got.
So, I really struggled with finding good things for this episode. I like Claire in this episode, and it's mostly because she's like, you know, doing doctor things and telling Frank to fuck off. Mm-hmm. And Frank dying, I think, is pretty cool. And I put a question mark on that, but it's pretty good. So, what were your worst parts?
In all caps, Frank. Because regardless of what she's doing and not being like the perfect wife, first of all, you could have communicated that to her. Second of all, you are still not holding up your end of the bargain, pal.
Yeah.
Like, you're not being discreet. You're inviting her in right after my graduation dinner. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You couldn't have spent one night with me? The fuck? Shut the fuck up. And dumb quest for gold. That came out of nowhere and goes nowhere. I'm so bored.
I didn't write that down. And of course, I also didn't write that. I failed to call Murtaugh the best part. He's always the best part. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
That's all I've got. I think Frank encapsulates my hatred for that storyline. Not hatred for the storyline. It is an interesting one. But I don't like him in that storyline.
His character in the storyline.
My problem with the storyline is Frank. Yeah. And Dumb Quest for Gold is my problem with the storyline, which for Jamie, which is a majority of that screen time. So, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I think the Frank divorce shit, all of it, including the affair, is just awful. I hate it. Mm. And I especially hate the graduation party thing. It's like, you really just need to keep your dick in your pants for like one night, fucker.
And also, you couldn't have told your like mistress a later time than when we were supposed to have our original
party. No. What you tell your freaking lover is like, this is one of those days I need to spend with my wife. Okay? Bye.
It shouldn't have taken much.
It really shouldn't have. But
in front of guests.
Yeah, I don't like Jamie and Lord John Grey as the potential love interest kind of thing. I don't like that flirtation.
They're not.
I don't like the prison shit in general. I hate it. I don't like rats biting people. I think it's unacceptable.
I will say this. I like Jamie and Lord John Grey's friendship. I like that also Jamie puts up the boundary of I'm not going to have sex with you. And Lord John Grey's like, all right.
There are times when I definitely like Lord John Grey. This is really not an episode where I feel that way. So, what
Okay.
grade did you give this episode?
C.
I gave it a D plus.
I
I'm
think
sorry.
the only reason I gave it a higher grade than the last one is because I think the Claire and Frank thing is an interesting, again, an interesting dynamic to explore with their arguments and like eventually it leading to divorce finally. And it again, like Claire said, it should have ended long ago if it weren't for Brianna. And so yeah, I think again, I think it's an interesting dynamic to show, and at least it's not just their boring sex life.
Which is non-existent. So,
Exactly.
season three, episode, I did say that I gave it a D plus. I'm not even gonna like explain myself. It's just not a great episode.
Okay.
It's a really actually poor episode. Season three, episode four of Lost Things. How do you want to split this one up?
I guess Claire doesn't have a lot to do in most of these. A lot of this is focused on Jane, because to be fair,
Hey, hey,
Claire.
hey. I've got a title for this episode that is We Have Entered the Bridgerton Universe.
Sure.
Because there is stupid romance novel shit going on in this episode that I really fucking hate that involves Jamie.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, Claire doesn't get a lot of screen time in these first few episodes, essentially because we've already kind of gotten an update about where Claire is at the point where we're going to really care. And
Yes.
so, and this is the point at which we care. So now we're just getting a little bit of her like journey and figuring things out. So her, Roger, and Brianna are trying to find evidence. And Roger's the one who brings up, okay, well, we have to figure out 20 years in the future if he's alive, where he is, all that stuff.
Right, because they figure like, all right, you were gone for 3 years, and that 3 years is how much time you actually spent in the Highlands. So like it seems
It's a
like
one-to-one
time,
comparison.
right? Like the time is running at the same rate. And so if 20 years have passed here, 20 years will have passed there. Is he still alive? What's going on? They're trying to find records. They look through records of all kinds of things. They find him at Ardsmuir Prison, but of course the prison shuts down in, what is it, 1757 or something like that. And they're like, where is he? Oh my God, we can't find him. And they are looking for records and they can't find him.
And so they give up. And
And Claire's
Claire
like,
and
fuck it. There is a very small thing where they are in a pub in Edinburgh where they've gone to look for records. And some woman is reciting Robert Burns' poetry. And Claire mentions, oh, yeah, I quoted this to Jamie all the time of, about whiskey and freedom. And that will become important later, but not in this episode. And she's like, it's time to go home. We're going to go back to Boston.
Yeah. And so her and Brianna go, oh, well, also Brianna
Oh,
kisses Roger.
she does.
That's really cute.
It's cute, but
Because he's
it's
like,
so
well,
random.
she's like, Fiona has a crush on you. And he's like, no, she doesn't. Yeah, she does.
She
But
does. It's sad.
and if she doesn't, she has a weird way of showing that she doesn't.
Yeah,
And
she's
so
constantly showing that she does.
either way, but essentially, what Roger is they're talking about is she is expressing this fear that she now has that she's now that she's like getting closer to her mother, she's having this fear of if we do find Jamie, then she's going to leave me, and I really don't want that to happen.
Because I finally understand something about my
Exactly.
mother
And
for a
I think
change.
that's a
And
very,
I actually have some respect for her.
I have a
Yay.
lot of respect for that, and I think that's fair. And
I'm talking
then
about Brianna having respect for her mother finally, which she hasn't had for quite some time.
yes, that's what we were referring to. And then Roger's like, well, I'm having the same feeling because once we figure this thing out, you're not going to need to be here anymore. And you're just going to go back to Boston, back to Harvard, and I won't see you again. And then she kisses him. And then she's like, well, that was unexpected. And then she leaves the room. And
Yeah,
then she leaves Bet and goes back to Boston anyway.
there is a lot of stuff, and at some point, I'm actually going to kind of like actually talk about the Brianna and Roger relationship. It's done as a little bit cute with this, but I still find it kind of like that felt it didn't feel like it fit with the narrative. It felt random, and I'm not sure. that they meant for it to feel random, but it
I
didn't.
think that their flirty vibes made well. What I'll say about it is, I
The
think
timing of it was random. Let's put it
the
that way.
kiss was random. I think the flirtiness is very cute, and I think that
Yeah.
makes sense. And they're like consistent about it. They both clearly are attracted to each other, and so them flirting makes sense. And eventually getting to a kiss makes sense. We don't know how much time has passed, first of all. I don't know how
Sounds
long
like a
her
month, maybe.
I don't know how long her leave was from the fucking hospital. But
No, and the reason that I say that is that at some point in this episode, Claire talks to Dr. Joe about some patient. He's like, "Well, you've been gone a month."
oh, did you say
So yeah.
month? Okay, well, that's a month.
Yeah.
So she's been getting to know him, and I think that with the amount of flirtation that has been between them, it makes sense for them to kiss. But at the same time, I also think it's kind of random for her to be like, okay, that was random fun. Bye.
Yeah,
But
with
then not
and she's
discuss
not
it.
leaving the house. I mean, they're and yeah, there's just
And then they don't have another conversation until they leave.
she seems to leave him hanging a lot, which I don't like.
I think that she also just has,
I
and
feel like
I
Roger deserves better.
well, certainly, but I also think that she just has issues with
Yeah, that.
relationships. Well, I think she also just hasn't had a good example.
But she thinks she has, and I think that's true with a lot
I
of
don't think
people.
she thinks that she had a good example of what a good relationship looks like with her parents.
But no, I think she thinks that Frank was a good dad, and I don't think she's quite figured out that he wasn't. I think she's still in, I think from a day-to-day perspective, she's still thinking her mother was in the wrong, which is fair based on what she's seen. But she thinks Frank's been really good and he really hasn't. And so there's a lot of that that still needs to be explored.
But from a romantic relationship standpoint, she has not had a good, like,
Modeling,
bit
not good
modeled.
modeling. That's true.
Yeah, she has not had, like, a good, solid, all right, well, I never really saw my parents give a lot of affection to each other, so
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm just gonna
normal.
fuck off, and you're just gonna be there waiting for me when I get back. And it's, I think that a lot of what Frank and Claire's relationship was like, all right, well, we only get together on specific occasions where we need to be seen together. And so I think Brianna's just figuring things out, and she's young and she doesn't know what she's doing.
All right, so let's talk about the part of this episode that feels exactly like a Bridgerton prequel
Not
or Blind
exactly.
Book, or it has total like
It has this a similar vibe.
bad Bridgerton book vibes or Bridgerton adjacent book
So
vibes.
let's just go through this super quickly because I do not want to dwell on
I
this.
really don't, other than to bitch about
Either way,
it.
Jamie's working as a groom at Hellwater. The family comes back, and the guy's like, I'm not going to tell my family that you're a fucking
The
prisoner.
guy being the Lord, who is in fact the Lord of the Vale. Yay, we love him.
Dunsany is his
Yeah.
name.
I didn't
And he
remember that,
has
but
two
okay.
daughters, Isabel and Geneva.
Geneva's
Geneva is
a
a witch.
bitch.
Geneva is a fucking
She's
witch,
fucking
and
horrible.
she needs to go fucking die in a hole, which she does eventually, but not soon enough for me.
But she is betrothed to some old lord who is treating her like cattle.
Yes, and so she's just like, hey, Jamie, I don't want to be a virgin when I have sex with this guy.
I'm
I want
ordering
at least
you.
some good sex in my life before I'm signed to this guy forever.
But hang on a second. There is a whole bunch of bratty shit that she
I
brings.
don't want to dwell
I
on
don't want
this
to dwell on
one.
it other than to say that Lord John Grey's brother shows up, tells Geneva all of Jamie's backstory, including like things like
Could
the
be a
rings at Lollibar.
blackmail.
So she blackmails him into having sex with her. And I hate everything about that. What I hate even more is that Jamie acts like he's a little bit into it, even though he's like, I'm only doing this because I'm being coerced. He's like doing all this touching and like clearly aroused, and I'm like, I'm not cool
I
with
think
this.
that no matter what, he is still a man who gets aroused by a beautiful young woman because this woman is beautiful.
She is, but
And she
whatever.
looks a lot like Claire.
No,
She does,
she
though.
doesn't.
She has the eyes and she has the hair, Mom. I don't know what to tell you. She looks a bit like Claire. And
Disagree, whatever.
Okay. She looks enough like Claire to be able to like picture Claire while you're having sex with her and not have to close your eyes.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like when he's taking his clothes off, you can look at me if you want to. I'm like, oh, stop it. You are enjoying some of this. And I think that that's
And mom,
enough.
can you blame the guy? He has to get something out of this. I think my your issue with it is you see it as like a slight to Claire of like having sex with somebody else, and I don't think that's fair for, on Jamie for having waited 8 years.
But she's also kind of like, oh, I want to lose my maidenhead to someone like you. I'm like, someone you're coercing? You want to do
I
that?
think
Like
that
that?
element is awful and I
It's
hate it,
so
but I
fucked
also
up and
don't
awful.
blame Jamie for like, I also think that Jamie in general is like, well, if she says it's bad, then she's going to reveal my secrets. So he's going to give her the best option and be like, all right, well, if I make it really good, at least she won't fucking rat on me. I think that's
I'm
probably
not
part of
buying
it.
any of that,
Why do
but go
you
ahead.
think that he's doing it? Because apparently you don't think any of my
I
business
think
makes
he's doing it
sense.
because he's coerced, but he doesn't have to enjoy it the way he does, and he clearly
So you're
enjoys it.
blaming the guy for enjoying sex.
With this god-awful person, yeah.
I'm not saying that she's
She's a
not a
god awful
god-awful
person.
person. I'm just saying that, like,
And coerced. I just find that not credible. Anyway, go ahead.
whatever. I can't blame him for having sex while Claire is gone because clearly
It's
she's
not
also had sex while he was gone.
necessarily having sex per se, although Claire's having sex with someone who's her husband that he already knows about, so that's not quite the same. In the Jamie context, he's having sex with someone he's being coerced into having sex with. He is turned on by in some way, which he wasn't even really turned on by, like servant girl, which okay, fine. She wasn't as beautiful as this
Well, they're
girl.
also both lonely souls who just kind of need some comfort. So I don't think that that was really getting the motor running, you know?
Right, but at the same time, it's like I don't understand why that would be a turn on. I think it would be a turn off to me.
I think that we both had issues with the direction of the scene and how the director was like, all right, well, you're really enjoying this.
I do. I have a lot of
I think
direction.
that's fair. That's fine to have a problem with that. I
I
just think
do.
that as presented, if he were to enjoy the sex that he had with her, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I do think that it's awful that he's being coerced into it.
I just find that not credible. But in any case, so he has sex with her. She
Gets
like
pregnant.
she gets pregnant.
Never has sex with her husband, so obviously her husband knows.
Right, she has a baby.
She
And the
dies in childbirth.
She dies in childbirth. She has a baby.
It's a little boy.
The lord who that she married knows that he has been cuckolded or whatever he wants to
It
call
was she
it.
wasn't a virgin when he laid with her, and he has a problem with that.
Right. And so he's threatening to stab the baby. This is where it's like this weird fucking weird Bridgerton prequel side whatever drama where he's like threatening to stab the baby. Jamie intervenes because of course he's found out that the baby's a boy. He's like thrilled that he has offspring. And so he intervenes between Lord that's trying to stab the baby and Lord Dunstan that he works for who's going to shoot the Lord who's trying to stab the baby. And he gets the gun away from Lord Dunsinane and or Dunsinane, whatever. And comically, the Lord who's gonna stab the baby is still gonna stab the baby, and so Jamie shoots and kills him and takes the baby.
And the family's very grateful. And so the wife is like, I know who you are. I know that you're a Jacobite. And the whole reason she has an issue with Jacobites is because her son died in Culloden and obviously from the
No,
British side.
he died at Preston Pines.
No, they said Culloden.
Think so, but go ahead.
It doesn't matter. He died in the war. And so she has that issue. But she's also like, all right, well, at least he saved my grandson. So you can leave whenever you want. And he's just like, well, I want to still earn some money to send back to
But what he
Scotland.
really wants is to bond with his child, and so he teaches Wee Willie Dunsinane to ride horses, and
No, he's
he's
not done today. He's Ellesmere or whatever.
whatever. Wee Willie. God, that really is his name. He teaches Wee Willie to ride horses, and they have similar demeanor, and it's starting to become very obvious to everybody. And Lord John Grey, shows up, and he is going to marry Isabel, the good daughter, the nice daughter, the one we like. And at that point, Jamie's like, "I need to go home."
Well, no, we're completely skipping over a really weird sequence where Jamie's like, "Hey, will you take care of my son for me?" Because John already
John,
knows,
yeah,
and
Lord
then
John
he's just like, "I'll give you sex for it."
Gray. Yeah.
And then John's like, "I'm not going to force sex out of you for that. Like, I would love to have
Yeah.
sex with you, but I'm not going to make you do it." And again, that shows that at
The
least
difference
Lord
between
John
him, yeah.
and fucking Geneva.
Ugh.
And I think that I understand your feelings about the whole like having sex with Geneva and seemingly enjoying it to a certain degree, but I also think that was mostly self-preservation.
I'm skeptical. Anyway, so Lord John Grey's like, yeah, no, as much as that sounds really awesome, I'm also engaged to be married to Isabel, the nice daughter, and we'll be able to raise your son, and we're happy to do that. That's awesome. That's great. And so Jamie's like, awesome, this is great. I'm going home. And that's basically
Well,
the
he
episode.
gives Lily a carved snake that
Oh, I
similar
forgot
to
about that,
what
and baptizes him.
and get and
Basically, the
it's similar
pacing
to
of this episode is just dumb. I'm sorry, go ahead.
the Sawney snake that he got from his brother who
His
died,
brother, Willie.
Billy,
Yeah.
but he made one for Willie himself.
Yeah.
So he didn't even name Willie, it just kind of happened. So
Wow.
yeah.
What were your best friends in Simpson?
Joe, I like Joe. He's cool.
Yeah, he is.
Lord John Grey, I find it very funny that Jamie's just like, I'll have sex with you if you take care of this poor child. And then Lord John Grey's like, what? Like,
Yeah.
no, I'm not gonna have sex with you for that. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not doing it as payment. That's awful. I would only want to have sex with you if you're willing to have sex with me and you wanted to. And you know what? Respect. And we
Yeah.
love to see it, Lord John Grey.
We do.
Roger and Brianna, I think they're cute. And Jamie.
Yeah, my best part is Isabel, the girl, the
Oh, I
good
love
sister.
Isabel.
I
I
love
also love
Isabel. I think
Isabel.
she's really great. I like Lord John Grey. I love Lord John Grey in this, actually.
I
I think
love Lord John Grey.
he is, I mean,
They still have a
this is
standing
a,
chess game.
you're right. In this episode, I really like him as a character. And that's really all I wrote down. I do like Joe. Joe's good, but he's not present much. What were your worst parts?
Lady Geneva, in all caps, she's the worst. Also, Lord Ellesmere, who tried to kill, even if
The
it's a
baby.
bastard child, the fuck, it's still a child. I don't really know what else.
Oh, I've got a bunch of bad
All
parts.
right, then maybe you'll inspire me.
All right, Jamie and Geneva, I absolutely fucking hate all of that. Wee Willie is a snotty little brat, and I hate him.
He's being born into privilege and he's really using it.
The offer to Lord John, I feel like
I find it funny.
I just feel like, why would you even do that?
Well,
But
I genuinely think that Jamie's just like, well, he's expecting that because that's what all awful officers want is sex. And I know that I'm the kind of person who would appeal to him. So let's see if this works. Here's a sexual favor. It's like, no.
yeah, and stupid Claire stuff. I think there's a bunch of stupid Claire stuff in here. What are
Claire
you?
giving up. But I also think
Yeah.
that that's fair to a certain degree of like, okay, well, but after a month, I get that. But
What
I don't know.
grade did you give this episode?
B minus.
I give it a C minus. I'm really not loving season three so far. I mean, if it isn't
I'll give it a
readily
C
apparent,
plus.
I'm like, eh. It just isn't good. And I'm hoping that my recollection of it is going to be like, hey, it's going to get better. And I know there's an episode in this season I really love. So I think it will. I think there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah,
We just
sure.
haven't gotten there yet. Holy shit. Why? And we hope that you actually join us on this ride because at some point we're going to get back to the actual Claire and Jamie story, which is why you're watching the show to begin with. And we will drink more whiskey with you. Isn't that true? I
Sure.
say I.
Aye.
There you go. Ed.
Cheers.